BFM. It's time for What's Up with Steve Abel from the Green Party.
Good morning, Steve.
How you doing?
Yeah, good, good. Now, I guess we're in the last week of the year here on the BFM Breakfast Show, and we are wrapping up. So I thought we could do a bit of a recap. But firstly, a couple of new-ish stories. The gene technology bill has had its first reading in Parliament yesterday.
That's right, yeah. So this was touted in part of the coalition agreement that the government would be liberalising the laws that manage the use of genetic engineering. So we have a pretty rigorous regime that, contrary to what the minister says, doesn't actually forbid applications for field trials or production of GE crops, but it's just not happened for the last 30 years or so because it's claimed to be too rigorous. Mm-hmm. So there's some bit about the law that could be made better to facilitate medical use of genetic engineering, which is not really controversial to most people who had genetic insulin, for example, in medical use since the 1980s. And perhaps some other methods of science would be useful. What is controversial, though, is releasing of agricultural genetic engineering.
Okay, so
non-GMO food production status in New Zealand. We don't actually have any GE produced here.
Okay, so so what you're saying is the medical side potentially very, very helpful, but maybe the agricultural side we need to be slightly more cautious with?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of elements to it. One is that there's still really low level of market kind of acceptance of it, so people don't really want to eat genetically modified foods. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that things like precision fermentation where you can produce foods and containment sort of that produced artificial meats and so forth. The Green Party, at least, we had policy of supporting that because it's not sort of major environmental risk, and as long as there's safety precautions and things are labelled, then people should be able to choose that. The problem with live self-replicating organisms and the environment and the irreversibility of it potentially.
Yes.
But also I think the really notable thing is that GMOs get touted as this huge kind of solution for a lot of the world's problems, including climate change. Mm. But in fact, after 40 years of commercial use in the United States, with billions of dollars of investment and thousands of field trials, there's still only 99% of the entire acreage of the world's GE crops, only four commodity crops, canola, soy, cotton, and maize. And they only have traits attributable for herbicide resistance and inbuilt pesticides, and they have consequently led to an increase in herbicide use glyphosate, the one developed by Monsanto. So our sort of argument is we need to maintain a precautionary approach, but also have a really evidence-based approach and scientific evidence-based approach to what GE can actually really do in that space. Notwithstanding, it's a phenomenally powerful tool, but in that regard, it should have ethical considerations, should take into account child morality and have proper substantive considerations of things like proprietary ownership of life forms and genes, which is the major motivation of the big seed and chemical companies, is that they want to proprietarily produce products that they can then get a premium for when they sell them to farmers.
Okay, excellent. Hey, Steve, can you just make sure you're holding your phone right up and talking directly into your phone there, just so we can catch you nice and clearly. I've sort of got you, but you're just dropping out a tiny bit there. And now, with I guess the science developing so quickly around gene editing tools, do you think that regulatory framework in the bill or this new bill is strong enough to keep up with the speed that science is moving?
I mean, the interesting thing is that the basic questions around intervention at life at the genetic level remain the same in terms of the ethics, in terms of the ability to transform things for good or for harm. And so those sort of questions don't change that much.
Yes.
And the idea that it's sort of a dramatically changed field, you can argue both ways on that. I've heard scientists making arguments in both ways. One they say, well, it hasn't actually changed that much. There's certain new techs like CRISPR and the likes, but it's not fundamentally that different. It's still a principle of intervention at the genetic level to, you know, edit genes out of plants or create transgenic plants or animals or whatever species for that matter, or bacteria, or microbes, you know, for production of food. So sort of broader questions and the ethical, societal questions and so forth don't really go away. In fact, you could argue as it becomes a more powerful tool and more able to manipulate life at that level, that those questions become bigger and more significant.
Now, moving along to live animal exports, what concerns do you have about its potential impact on animal welfare?
Well, live exports have, you know, all the veterinary experts have been involved in live exports or seen what it does, just say you cannot do live animal exports in a way other than one which is cruel and fundamentally breaks animal welfare standards and expectations. So there's no version of live exports that isn't a miserable existence for the animals forced onto these boats into, you know, weeks-long journeys at sea, unable to, you know, move around and behave naturally, sort of crammed into cages, rocking back and forth on a boat day and night. They go through the equator, the heat conditions become a real issue for a boat crammed full of large animals. Food gets contaminated, their water gets contaminated, and they end up sort of having to lie down in their own excrement, basically. It's pretty miserable. You see the footage and images of what happens on those ships.
And they're also potentially going to countries where the animal welfare standards are not as humane as they are in Aotearoa. So they're suffering for weeks on end on a boat and then perhaps getting slaughtered in, I mean, if there is a way to do it, a less than humane way. And New Zealand also misses out on any sort of value-added potential for, like, finished products. It just seems so backwards to be doing this again.
It really is backwards, and the world is kind of moving away from it. There's no new ships being built particularly. And other countries such as the UK have kind of actually followed New Zealand's original lead and we could ban live exports and done the same thing. We have quite strong on paper welfare expectations in New Zealand, but even here we can't enforce satisfactory animal welfare. If you look at winter grazing itself, and the animals are in pretty miserable conditions in our farming here in New Zealand. We have absolutely no say on what happens in other jurisdictions. So the idea the government suggested they can somehow ensure the welfare for the animals in offshore destinations sort of makes no sense at all, because how can we possibly monitor or enforce that? I think it's just part of the public relations line, because they're kind of hell-bent on bringing it back.
Now, Steve, just moving along to the year in review, how are we going to look back on 2024?
I mean, I think this is one of the most radically reactionary governments we've had in a generation, to be honest. The amount of legislation that's been pushed through the House, the willingness to override basic environmental laws through the fast-track legislation.
It's passed yesterday, didn't it, the fast-track legislation?
It passed yesterday, yeah. And, which is a big list of, the government's favourite companies. And it's sort of an everything soup. Some of those projects are probably quite good, some of the renewable energy projects and housing projects, but they've not gone through sufficient process to get social licence. And a lot of the projects are really terrible, sort of zombie projects back from the dead that have been previously opposed heavily by local communities and, kicked back by the Environment Protection Authority or by the Supreme Court in the case of the Trans-Tasman Resources seabed mining. And to bring those back from, the dead, so to speak, and allow them to have another crack is a real challenge to principles of public participation and democracy, let alone upholding considered to waitangi or environmental laws that are there for a very good reason, because they exist to protect the common good of all New Zealanders and the environment. And so that legislation, but I think most notably is this attack on Tetiriti o Waitangi in the past year, and a whole lot of anti-Māori legislation from getting rid of the Māori Health Authority to removing 7AA from the Ordering Authority Act. And, you know, the Treaty Principles Bill is kind of the, I feel like the poster boy of that sort of anti-Māori, anti-Tetiriti legislation, but there's a whole lot of other examples of it. And that is a really sad turn for what has been some years and decades of hard-fought principles of recognising the importance of upholding that relationship and that founding agreement that brought Aotearoa into existence as a sort of a nation, not, of course, the nations of Inuit and Hapu throughout the country that pre-existed colonisation, of course, but in terms of what we think of as our founding event, it was the 6th of February 1840 when the sovereignty of Māori was recognised by the British Crown, and Māori consented to British settling here. And that is a really unique and amazing founding basis for our nation. And to have this government so viciously attack it, undermine it, and so division and so forth is really perilous and harmful. And I think that is the most profoundly unfortunate thing about this past year.
Oh, man. Okay. Opportunities for next year, Steve.
I mean, I think opportunities, honestly, I think this government is not popular. They still sort of hold sway. You know, the polls are close. For the first year, I think no new government should be that happy with the low kind of approval ratings that Luxon has. And so, to be honest, I think the sort of duty of those of us on the opposition side of the House is to really hold the government to account and hold up, you know, ideas and concepts of how differently we could be doing things in our society that would be genuinely for the better. We don't need to have poverty. We don't need to have environmental destruction. There are so many ways in which we can reduce our greenhouse gas emissions that end up also making household energy bills cheaper, also, you know, make cost of living better, more affordable. Those are the things we should be doing and we can be doing. And as the Greens, you know, it's our duty to kind of make sure that we tell that story and take that to the people. In terms of the wider public opportunities, I just think it's so important that at moments when you have a reactionary government, as we do now, the public that stands up and says that they're not willing to stand for it and they want a better version of society, it actually makes a real difference. Those movements that occur at times like this end up shaping our culture for the future. And so taking inspiration from that amazing equality of country that culminated in Wellington, you know, when the people stand up and speak, actually they do get listened to, and ultimately that's what shapes what our society is.
Get involved, people. Get involved.
Get involved.
Hey, Steve Abel, it has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you this year. We'll look forward to catching up with you in the new year. Hopefully you have a fantastic festive season and summer break.
That's very kind of you, and thank you. I really appreciate you on the show. My last plug is that if you haven't done it yet, please do get in a submission against the Treaty Principles Bill. The submission closes on the 7th of January, so make that your final kind of, if you like, active you know, political participation for this year, because we need to make sure we send a strong message that we don't want that sort of legislation.
Awesome. All right, cheers, mate. Thank you so much.
Thank you, mate. Have a great Christmas.
Bye. That was What's Up with Steve Abel from the Green Party.